Today, we're going to meet another one of those characters that are pointing to Christmas from the past. In the last session, we met Prophet Isaiah, and he told us some of the things God told him to write down in his book that would let us know about the Messiah and how to recognize him when he came. In this session, we're going to meet another biblical character who will tell us something very interesting about the Christmas story. His name is Daniel. His name is not one usually associated with the Christmas story, but listen to him explain how he was an important part of the story. By the way, Daniel lived 600 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Daniel, are you there?
I am Daniel. I was born during the reign of King Josiah, good King Josiah. And when I was still but a boy, a member of the royal family, yes, I was a member of the royal family, my country was invaded by King Nebuchadnezzar. He came from Babylon, and he conquered our land. When I was still but a child, King Nebuchadnezzar kidnapped me and took me away to Babylon. I never saw my house again. I never saw my family again. But God was with me. And three of my friends came with me. We were kidnapped. One reason was because I was a member of the royal family. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, thought by keeping me, my family would obey him more. But I was there with my three friends. Maybe you know them. Their Hebrew names were Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. Do you know who they are? Have you heard of them before? Maybe you heard other names for them. Anyone know? Yes. Their Babylonian names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the four of us were kept there in Babylon. While we were in Babylon, and our city was laying in ruins, we were taught, we were instructed in the best schools of the Babylonian. They tried to brainwash us to be Babylonian. Oh, they changed many things. They changed our names. They changed our diet. They changed what we drank, the way we dressed. They tried to make us into Babylonian. But God told us to stay Jewish. You see, during this time, in my country, we had had a king who was a descendant of David. Once King David became the king in my country, God promised him that every single king who would sit on the throne of Israel would be a descendant of King David. So his son, his grandson, great-grandson, so forth. But King Nebuchadnezzar, he changed that. He stopped the lineage. He stopped what we called the age of the David monarchy. And instead, now, Gentiles ruled our land. And since that day, to even today, Israel still has no king. But a day will come when Israel will have a king again, who will be a descendant of David. But that's in the future and not our story here tonight. No. You see, when the king Nebuchadnezzar removed the ancestor of David as being our king, he began an era of time. This is called, in the Bible, the times of the Gentiles. Even Jesus referred to this, the times of the Gentiles. What this means is Gentiles are now ruling my country. many Gentiles, Nebuchadnezzar, other kings, Cyrus, Alexander the Great, the Romans. As time went on, the time of the Gentiles, that's what we are still in. Now, what does this mean? You see, first of all, what is a Gentile? Are you a Jew? You then are a Gentile. Are you a Jew? No, you are a Gentile. I, being Jewish, am not a Gentile. So the Gentiles were the ones who were not Jewish and now ruling our nation. This has been going on forever. But God used me, chose me to write things down, gave me visions, and even at times an angel appeared to me and told me to write things down of what would happen to us Jews, what would happen during the time of the Gentiles. That's what I'm here to tell you about. What was going to take place to the Jews during the times of the Gentiles? Now, many things happened and are still yet to happen, but I was a prophet of God. God gave me the gift of being able to see things and to write them down so that you would know them. One of the prophecies I wrote about what would happen during the time of the Gentiles, I recorded in the 7th chapter of my book, verses 13 and 14. Look closely with me. I was watching in the night visions, and with the clouds of the sky, one like a son of man was approaching. He went up to the Ancient of Days and was escorted before him. Stop here. Do you notice two titles that are here? Son of Man, Ancient of Days. Who is the Ancient of Days? God the Father. Who is the Son of Man? You should know. If you have read these books that came out later by the apostles, like John or the book of Mark or Luke, you see that Jesus was very fond of calling himself the Son of Man. Today, I know that many among you and many friends of yours may say that Jesus never claimed to be God, never claimed to be Messiah. They are so mistaken, because this is a passage talking about the Messiah. And as we saw from Isaiah, I heard he was here yesterday, explained to you that he is God. The Son of Man is the Messiah. If the Son of Man comes, it is the Messiah who comes. When Jesus used that term, the Son of Man, he was referring and claiming this prophecy. What does this prophecy say? Let's continue the verse. To him, the Son of Man, to him was given ruling authority, honor, and sovereignty. All peoples, nations, language groups were serving him. His authority is eternal and will not pass away. His kingdom will not be destroyed. This is the Messiah. And what is it saying? It's the title of the Son of Man. So when someone tells you Jesus never claimed to be God, never claimed to be Messiah, show them what God told me to write down. He is. Jesus is Messiah, Mashiach, the Son of Man. But you may be wondering, what has this got to do with Christmas? Daniel, I thought you were going to tell us about Christmas, how you fit in. I shall, but I needed to show you that first. So now let me show you another thing. Now, you know the story of as they come to the people, to Jerusalem, looking for the Messiah born. Let me ask you, how did the wise men know when to come? How would they know that? You see, I, Daniel, was appointed by King Nebuchadnezzar to be the chief of all the magi, of all the wise men. I was the chief of wise men. And God told me to write down things in this book. This book would then be passed from generation to generation and studied by each magi as time goes on. These magi would have copies of my book. They studied them. These are the wisest people in the entire world, and they studied my book. And we know, too, these wise men, that many books that the Jews had were brought with them. If you read my book, you will see I even mentioned reading the book of Jeremiah in Babylon myself. We brought these books with us. Many of the books of the Old Testament, the Holy Scriptures to the Jews, were brought with us to Babylon. One is from a prophet, Moses. And these magi had copies of these books. And in the book of Numbers, it reads this: a star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. The wise men knew to look for a star when God comes. They knew to look for a star. But I wrote this 600 years before Christmas. How did the wise men in the Christmas story, how did they know that the time had come? Now, we get to the fun part. Do you like puzzles? You do. I like puzzles too. Wise men, magi, we use puzzles often. Sort of in fun, but also in learning. And we taught using them. I was given the opportunity. The angel Gabriel appeared to me. Yes, the same angel who appeared to Mary and Joseph in the Christmas story appeared to me and told me to write down this puzzle, because it tells when the Messiah would come. It would also say what is going to happen to the Jews during the times of the Gentiles. It starts in the 9th chapter of my book. Verses 24 through 27. Let's see if you can figure out the answer to the puzzle. It says, 70 sets of seven time periods have been assigned for your people and your holy city. These time periods will serve to bring an end to rebellion, to stop sin, to forgive wrongs, to usher in everlasting righteousness. Stop. Does not that sound like the Messiah? He continues. To put a seal on a prophet's vision and to anoint the Most Holy One. Learn then and understand that from the time the command is given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed prince comes, 7 sets of 7 time periods and 62 sets of 7 time periods will pass. Jerusalem will be restored and rebuilt with a city square and a moat during the troubles of those times. But after 62 sets of 7 time periods, the anointed one, will be cut off and have nothing. The word in Hebrew for anointed one is the word Mashiach. which is where you get the word Messiah, which in Greek is Christos, which in English is Christ. Christ will be cut off and have nothing. That's what this is. The city and the holy place will be destroyed. The prince who is to come, he will confirm his promise with many for one set of seven time periods. Sounds confusing, no? Yes, we Magi like to make puzzles, but this was what the puzzle the angel Gabriel gave to me. Apparently, angels like puzzles too. If you are wise, you can figure it out. Now, let me explain how the wise men knew when to come to look for the Messiah. The 70 sets of seven time periods is speaking in Jewish years. You must use a Jewish calendar to do this. You cannot use your English calendar, the one you use, it will not work. A Jewish calendar must be used because it's shorter. It's only 360 days a year. So if you multiply the 70 by 7, you get 490 years. So the prophecy of what I'm given from Gabriel was what was going to happen to the Jews in the next 490 years. Remember, I lived 600 years before Jesus. During this 490 years, God was telling us Jews, six special things were going to happen during the time of the Gentiles. God divided them into two sections. The first three dealt with sin. He would remove sin. The last three deal with righteousness. He would bring in righteousness. This is the Messiah who is to do this. Then it says, seven sets of seven time periods, 49 years. 49 years. Because it said, you need to have a starting point. And we were given one. The angel told me to write down when the command to rebuild Jerusalem was given. That we know from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. When King Artaxerxes commanded Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild it, the year was 444 BC. There is the starting point for all of this puzzle. You have to have a starting point for all these years. This is the year. Now, let me show you. 62 sets of seven time periods is 434 years. We add to that the 49 from the passage before. That gives us 483 years. Remember, this is in a Jewish calendar. In other words, the Messiah would take care of sin 483 years after the command was given to rebuild the city in 444 BC. Now, the wise men knew this, and they watched the time, watching to see when the Messiah would come. As I say, you must use a Jewish calendar, and if you do, when you add those years, it comes out to be what is today called 33 AD. Is not this amazing? Because what happened in 33? Remember the prophecy said the Messiah would be cut off. He would be killed. But it also said he is eternal, meaning he must come back to life. So 33 AD was the date of the Messiah's, as I said and wrote, time periods to bring an end to rebellion, to stop sin, to forgive wrongs, to usher in everlasting righteousness. This is what the Messiah did. And he did it where? On the cross. And he died, but came back to life. The last seven periods of time, that deals with the future. We do not have time to go into that because my time is nearly over. I must leave, but there's so much more I wish I could tell you about this Messiah. But now do you see how I foretold a very important part of the Christmas story? Matthew is the one who recorded how the wise men came looking for the Messiah. How did they know? They had my book. They knew the time period. And they knew when to come to look. Of course, they did not have the book of Micah. So when they came to Jerusalem, they had to ask, where was the Messiah to be born? They obviously did not have that book, but they had many others. I foretold that he would be called the Messiah. I am the one who gave the name Mashiach to the Anointed One, to the Holy Son of Man, who would remove our sins and make us righteous. That was my gift to the Christmas story. God told me to write it down and many other prophecies. And in these prophecies that I wrote in my book, I talk about what will happen to the Jews during the time of the Gentiles. But my time is nearly gone. I wish I could tell you more, but let me just show you a few things just before I leave. Many of you are very familiar, with my book, how the stories are in the first six chapters of the book of Daniel. Did you know that I started writing that book in Hebrew, but in the middle of the first chapter, I switched, started writing in Chaldean, the Babylonian language, for the next chapters, because that was talking about what was going to happen to the Jews during the time of the Gentiles. I wrote this in a Gentile language. Then after chapter 6, I switched back to Hebrew. Amazing, no? In the first chapter, you remember how the story goes, how my three friends and I were being told, you must dress like Babylonian, you must eat like Babylonian, you must drink like Babylonian, and we rebelled. That cute little story is not just a cute little Sunday school story. It's a prophecy. All of these stories are prophecies. Do you understand? God was telling us Jews, during the time of the Gentiles, you stay Jewish. You stay a peculiar people. That's why, even to this day, if you have Jewish friends, they eat different. They have different holidays. They don't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Hanukkah. They have different celebrations. We were told by God in that prophecy to stay Jewish. Chapter 2 is about the Gentile kingdoms that would come during the time of the Gentiles. God gave me the opportunity to write this down for the Jews. In chapter 3, the fiery furnace. Yes, you remember that? That is prophecy. God telling us that we Jews will go through many fiery trials with kings and rulers trying to kill us, but that we would survive. God would preserve us. That's what that prophecy is. Chapters 4 and 5 in my book is about trials that we Jews will face under these Gentile kings as they come. All of those stories, but my favorite is chapter 6. I was an old man when it happened. Daniel in the lion's den is not just a cute story or a story to say that God protects. It is a prophecy of what will happen to the Messiah during the times of the Gentiles. You no doubt know what happened to me, how I was brought up on false charges. So was Jesus before Pilate. King Darius tried to get me out of this trouble, but he could not. He was bound by the law. Pilate tried to get Jesus out of the trouble, but he was bound by the law. We were both condemned to death. We were both put in the ground. We were both had once put in the ground, a huge stone rolled over the entrance. We both had the king put put his signet ring and seal the tomb. And we both came out alive. The Daniel in the lion's den is prophecy that the Messiah would suffer and rise again. My time is gone. I challenge you, read tonight Daniel 6 with your family. Grandparents, own parents, read chapter 6 and see how many things are the same, both in Jesus happening at Easter and what happened to me. Well, I must go, but I hope you heed what I have said to you in this night we had. I bid you shalom.